You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has opened its doors for another day, so it's time for the opening. And with me is Greg Davies, the head of wealth at Kratos Capital in Johannesburg.
Lindsay, yeah, before we go on there, just wondering why we never managed to do the shadow. I did miss you yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, I have to apologize to you and to everybody else because, Greg, I live in Rotterdam and I occasionally, I've got a beautiful old lady's bicycle and I go riding around and I get enthusiastic when there's a bit of sun. But I went out yesterday and it was sunny, but then it started to rain and I whizzed around a corner on some cobbled stones because there's some really beautiful parts of the port of Rotterdam, which is where I live. And I whizzed around the corner and the bike slid to its left from underneath me. So I'm falling on my right and I smashed my hip and my elbow. It's really, really painful. Well, it wasn't at the time. I just got up and rode on again. And
then someone of your age. It's not ideal.
I then came home and took some Miprodols, three or four of them, because I was in such pain. I just fell asleep. I'm sorry. I do apologize for that. Anyway, let's get them.
What's happening to you? There were no blue ticks in a little while. What's happened? Anyway, it's a relief to know that you're fine and hope that Miprodols are working as well.
A little bit tender this morning, but everything's fine. Yeah, it's a great, great painkiller. I don't know. There is a generic version made by Aspen, funnily enough, which is called something else, but let's not.
It actually changed my life, that drug, because in the rare case which I do have a hangover, you just pop one of those and it's all forgotten. Half an hour later.
Two or three does it for me. Greg, last night the US market could have done with some Miprodols. Not a particularly pleasant session.
Yes, I mean, Dow's been bashed around by sort of economic, political, sort of trade tension news. So down 300 points again, back just above 26,000. It's just quite a sort of leg down from that recent high, which was 27.3. We're 26.1 at the moment. Yeah. So time for some Trump tweets, I think.
Yeah, I haven't been watching him recently because I'm getting a lot of flack for being too anti-Trump. So I'm going to lay off that for a while. Did you listen to my chat with your friend Russell Lamberti yesterday? We locked horns for an hour.
Yeah, I did listen to a bit of it. I must say, it was fascinating, really, and how the sort of Brexit sort of plays into the new political sort of way forward, which is the Trump and Boris sort of everyone's thinking they're a wrestling tag team really at the moment, but must say it was enjoyable listen.
Yeah, it really is. If you've got the time, just put your feet up and have a listen to that. It's Lindsay Williams and Russell Lamberti. But anyway, Greg, let that not detain us. Let's have a look at Stock Exchange news service announcements this morning. Anything there?
Just as we were chatting. Something quite interesting. If you don't mind, I'll sort of read it on the fly here. The headline is ShopRite Holdings engagement with shareholders. Following the recent release of ShopRite Holdings integrated annual profit report, chairperson of the Remuneration Committee and shareholders on webcast call. It's just a note to say they're going to have a chat with shareholders. I was hoping there would be something along the Crystal Visa, just enlighten the rest of us. What's exactly happening at board level there?
Adcorp Holdings Limited, resignation of CEO. The CEO goes. I mean, I haven't read the announcement, but when a CEO goes, the share price normally does something, either good or bad. If it's a bad CEO, obviously the price goes up. If it was a person that has stewarded this company to its heights, then the share price goes down. What's happened to Adcorp this morning?
Well, I mean, that is the thing. It hasn't traded today, but it was trading around 20 Rand. And a week ago, they had a very poor trading update and it got clattered. It finished yesterday at 16 Rand 20. And, sort of skipping ahead here on the announcement, it says the interim plans by the board. So it looks like he's fallen on the sword.
Good for him.
Because of the if only some football managers would do the same.
Or politicians.
The board is the board is effectively responding to the poor trading statement recently released by the group, and is working with management to put in place corrective measures. This will include, and then that gives a couple of bullet points. They promise to be good, and they promise not to do their homework, and so on.
Are you ready for this one? Middle East Diamond Resources Limited.
Well, at least it's in the name. I wonder if it's not suspended because there's no share bids or offers of any sort, and the last recorded price is zero. So let's just have a clicky here. Further to the various cautionary announcements released on the scene, shareholders are advised that negotiations are still in progress, with it significantly concluded may have an effect on the price of the company's shares. Well, that's going to be tough because it's not listed.
Do they have diamonds in the Middle East?
Not that I'm aware of. Maybe the Guptas, yeah.
Greg, let's have a look at the spot prices if we can, and you can just talk amongst yourself while I go to my sharenet.co.za spots data screen. Go.
Yeah, I'm doing the same. Yeah.
The Rand's under pressure, but it's a little bit off its worst at the moment. Sorry, I'm still scrolling here. I do apologise.
Well, I'll give you, the Rand. I mean, there was some Bloomberg headline with somebody from an organisation called RandCap that's called a lot of downgrades correctly in all the emerging markets. He was saying, 1st of November, Moody's is not even going to give us a negative outlook. They're just going to put us on the junk. Exactly. And since that's made headlines, the Rand's been a little bit weaker, 15, 22. The way some of the resource counters are trading is almost as if the Rand is never going to recover. But I still think it's quite a good performance at 15, 22. All things considered.
Yeah, you were the one that called it to 13.50 a couple of weeks ago, but let's not talk about that now. The dollar rand, as you quite rightly say, is 15.22. The British pound against the rand is 18.61, and the euro rand is 16.71, with the euro dollar just done nothing for 3 days. 109.80 is the prevailing price on that exchange rate. We've got the gold price. This makes me feel better. 15.08, up to $2.50 after a rally last night on COMEX, the commodity exchange in New York. Platinum is barely changed at $8.91, and palladium, over to you.
Yeah, down $6. It must have had a spike, or unfortunately we missed the shadow last night. $16.68 for palladium, so it's still close to all-time highs.
I fell off my bike, Rick. That's why we missed it. The Brent crude oil price is $58.70, which is up 6 cents per barrel. And last night, let's just review the carnage, or mini-carnage, that happened. The Dow Jones was down 314 points, or 1.2%. The S&P was a 1.6% loser, and the Nasdaq down 1.75%. But I noticed the S&P futures this morning are trading up around about 8 points, but it's choppy. People are positioning themselves. I've got a bet with Liston Mainches that by the 10th of October, the S&P will be below 2888, and it's a complicated deal. So I'm really, really hoping, from a short-term point of view, that this thing goes down again. What do you think? What are my chances?
I think you've got a chance. There's very little to drive the market in any direction, and often in those cases, it does drift lower. We spoke yesterday morning about these trade talks, which seem to be coming, sort of less and less. The market's not taking them as seriously. Just another round of, shuffling the deck chairs, really.
Okay, let's have a look at the most viewed shares this morning. I've got Sibania, 24.95, up 2.6%. That must gladden your heart, Steinhoff. We need not talk about that. Sasol down 1.4%, and DRD Gold, R7.88, up 4.4%. Good stuff from the gold shares.
Yeah, on the DRD, I think as a child, I think it's the first share that I ever bought, and it's still with us all these years later. But what does tend to happen when you get these gold bull markets, we have experienced probably since about April this year, some of these marginal, thinly traded gold shares become, the domain of short-term speculators, people trying to get in and out within an hour or two. But at the moment, it's up 4%. It's good to see sort of fire lit under these smaller gold counters.
Yeah, I think that after all this churning around that 1500 pivotal point, the dollar gold price, that is, I think we're ready for the next leg up. We've tried the downside. It was in the 1480s. Now back above 1500. I think now an assault on 1550. And if 1550 breaks, Greg, as we've said before, it's tested us, it's teased us. If it goes through 1550, I think we've got a very quick $25-$30. And then watch that gold index on the JSE.
Yeah, and I think overall the gold shares behaved much better in that pullback. And these old school brokers will tell you the shares lead the gold price, not the other way around. And the gold shares have been strong. We've had a couple of days where it's up 4%. We don't look at the actual number on the gold index. That is 2563. You must maybe keep a note of that number. But up to nearly 2% today. So the shares are trading like they want, and certainly they wanted to go higher. And certainly, you're right, we tested the pullback, and that didn't work for the markets. And I do like the way it's sort of drifted back to its old hunting ground, sort of north of 1505.
I love the way it's behaving at the moment. I'm going to phone Clarence Delgado, our hedge fund manager and confidant, later on and see what he's up to. But I'm getting the feeling that he's one of those buyers below 1500. Sibanye Gold is one of the top five major movers today, up 2.75%. Anglo Gold Ashanti up 2.5%. Northern Platinum is a 2.25% winner. Implats up 1.9%. Gosh, look at that thing, 105.50.
Look at that. Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Asor up 1.7%, Greg. Resources in the top five, like just like the old days.
Yes, it does give a sort of, you know, are we back in time? But I think it goes back to the theme which we were saying earlier, that the market's starting to expect the rand to remain weak, and it's pricing these assets. I mean, that Impala, I mean, they've gone ahead. Well, they've put their name up, you know, to make that acquisition in Canada. Mm. And initially, the share pulled back below 100 rand. All that seems to be forgotten now, up nearly 2%, 105.56 rand. So nothing seems to be slowing down the Impala train.
On the downside, Exxaro down 11.25%. Let's stop there. Why is that?
It's an ex-div story. I thought so. It paid an ordinary and a special, which worked out to about 17.60 rand. So the share's down 16.30 rand. So you'd still be better off. But day traders, we love these type of things, because occasionally you'll get someone that's napping and hasn't done their homework and hasn't seen that it's going ex-dividend, and they're sitting smiling on the bid at yesterday's prices. And of course, we jump all over them. But this morning, everyone had had the jungle oats and seen that it was ex-dividend.
iProp down 6.75%, AVI down 4%, Mass down 3.2%, and Truworths down 2.5%. This Truworths story is grinding its way to an unpleasant conclusion, is my opinion.
Yeah, it's such an interesting space, the retail stocks here in South Africa, because the loved and the hated are sort of so divergent, really. Obviously, Clicks is where all the love is, and then Truworths, you know, it's just not been in favor with the market for some time, really. And just feels like there's no compelling reason to run out and buy these type of stocks at the moment. Maybe Clicks, you could say there is, but for the rest, they're out of favor with the market at the moment.
We've got the Saki Business Confidence coming out, I think, at 11:30, Greg, in about an hour and a half's time, and people saying it could be the lowest level in history. Is it me? Am I being simplistic? But should we be just continuing to sell any stock that applies its trade in South Africa that has a PE of more than 15?
You would certainly say you could definitely make a strong argument for that, but then a counter argument, and as you hear, we have these sort of arguments here at the office quite a lot, is that emerging markets are underowned, South Africa is underowned, and then the line of yours here, any bit of good news and a place will rip higher. So the potential is definitely there. The share prices, yes, 15 P's are ridiculous, but there must be pockets of value. What you're really looking for is basically someone to be thrown into jail. So we're holding our breath for that.
You know what, Greg, when it's glass half full, glass half empty story. When I moved to South Africa in 1988, as a fresh-faced and optimistic person, I'd very nearly bought a house just off Louis Botha. It was a beautiful house. It's one of the houses with the pressed steel ceilings and the wooden floors
beautiful,
and everything. And
right,
I remember
yeah.
It was 180,000 rand. And I thought, wow, this is so lovely. It's got a little swimming pool, and it's an area which is quite vibrant. But on the other hand, if I'd have bought it, it would be worthless now. I'm not saying worthless, but it would, in real terms, after an inflation-adjusted calculation,
yeah,
it would be worth absolutely nothing. So this is the way I look at the JSE. I say to yourself, yes, it's cheap, but goodness me, it can get a lot cheaper because of the malaise in the market or the malaise in the area that I'm talking about.
No, definitely. That's a very, very good point, because if you look back at previous bull markets that you've had, and hopefully I like to imagine a scenario where you sold the house in the 2000s when it was a massive property boom. But in order to get a long-term sustainable bull market here on the JSE, you need a strong property market. You need people buying houses which are worth a million, and 2 years later it's worth 1.5. And in their minds, they've got to start living like they're living in a 1.5 million house. So they go down to Truworths and they buy and start living, you know, a prosperous mentality, because the property, which is, you know, their anchor sort of asset, is climbing in value. And people do things like buy a holiday home and that kind of thing. And But you speak to people in the property space, you know, estate agents are generally the most pessimistic people you can meet, but they're saying that there's no demand for property. So it is a concern, but definitely you need the two to run in tandem. You need a strong residential property market, and then it will a causable market, hopefully.
I spoke to a fund manager at a well-known asset management company in Cape Town, and he was telling me off air that a mate of his used to be the most successful real estate agent in South Africa. It was actually in the Western Cape region, working for a very high-profile company, and he said that he hasn't sold one property this year in Cape Town.
Yeah, you do hear those stories. I like anecdotal type stories where you hear from people on the ground doing those type of things. But, you know, and I mean, the Western Cape was obviously the gem, really. You know, once the financial markets weren't hubbed around the JSC down in Diagonal Street, you could be in the financial market from anywhere. And so that money all moved down to the Cape. And obviously, everyone moved down there. And it was slightly better run than the rest of the country. And so there you had a massive property boom. And geographically, it's hard for them to sort of add houses. It's not like four ways where you can just build forever. So you had, that was the property bull market. But you're hearing more and more people saying that they're battling to sell properties there and it's under pressure. And so it has to be recalibrated. The prices will inevitably have to come down.
Greg, give us the JSE indices after 1 hour and 10 minutes of trading, please.
Yeah, a little bit thin on news here. Yeah, the bank's down 0.06, financials down 0.33%, industrials up 0.04. Retailers, we spoke about tourists, that's down 0.5%. Gold index up 2.33%, platinum's up 2.33%, I'll take that. Resources up 0.06, or more or less flat. It leaves the all share 0.33% lower, 159 points down, 54,374. The value of trade, just under 2 billion.
Greg Davies is the head of wealth at Kratos Capital. That was the opening. Greg will be back with us on the 5 o'clock shadow later today. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox.